On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk.
Sudfeld ducks the handoff, dishes it out left side to Aguilar, gets to the sideline and takes it in. Unless he stepped out of bounds, no, he did not. Philadelphia touchdown with 7:34 to play in this game.
What up, everybody? It's all over. 2018 season is in the books. The Redskins will finish a disappointing 7-9. This team started through 9 weeks. They were 6-3. They finished 1-6 to end the year. Their only win coming against a terrible Jacksonville Jaguars team, at least a terrible Jacksonville Jaguars offense. Shapey Finley, it's Redskins Talk Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Pete's here, Mitch is here. If you guys feel differently, that's fine. We got to talk about that just colossally turd of a game.
I mean,
a little bit.
A little bit.
You know, I thought it was pretty interesting. On our post-game show, Trevor Maddich, B. Mitch, and D. Hall kind of got into a bit of a disagreement, with Maddich saying he liked – well, D. Hall and B. Mitch were questioning the effort, and I think Maddich defended the effort, at least especially with guys on the defensive line. You know, the guys we thought were going to fight hard did. I don't know if that matters.
There are a few things that you take away from it that you see during – like, obviously the game was a huge stinker. The offense stunk. The defense wasn't very good.
24-0. And I just want to run through some of these stats.
Yeah.
Dude, the Skins didn't convert a third down in the game. They didn't convert a third down on offense the entire 60 minutes of football.
Go to time of possession.
The Eagles got 25 first downs. The Redskins got 8. The Eagles controlled the football 43 minutes out of 60.
Three full quarters almost.
Dude, the Redskins ran three plays of offense in the third quarter.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, when you say when guys are questioning effort, at a certain point the defense just gets worn down and the offense is so overmatched. I don't know if it's effort. I think they just got outclassed in every way.
They had 89 yards of offense. I think for we've now seen Josh Johnson in three starts and four games. And I think, shout out on the podcast to our guy Mark Dress for a great year. Say what's up, Dress.
What's up, guys? Your best working crew in sports right here.
Get out of here.
Come on.
Get the hell out of here.
That's what I'm talking about.
Thank you, Dress.
That'll be the most positive moment of the day.
Happy New Year, brother. I mean, the yardage, all these numbers are god-awful. Like, Nick Foles tied an NFL record with 25 completions in a row.
He should have broken it, too. He had a pass go behind his receiver.
Were either of you guys...
The Skins got their ass kicked.
They did. Were either of you guys here for Mark Brunell's 21
consecutive? Yes, and that was such junk.
It was. This was much less junk because
he was going
Brunell's
downfield.
21 were 3-yard passes. He was going downfield. He just couldn't stop him.
The Eagles had the longest drive in the NFL since 2015. That 11:43-minute drive.
Josh Johnson, so I was saying this before Dress came in.
I think this bears saying again.
Since 2015, that was the longest drive in the NFL, 11 minutes and 43 seconds.
Damn.
So we've seen Josh Johnson now in four games and three starts. Until until the Eagles game, Josh Johnson had been giving the Redskins what they needed. He made the bad mistake at the end of the Tennessee game, but limiting turnovers, allowing for long drives, letting the Redskins defense get off the field, picking up third downs, all of that went away against the Eagles. And the Eagles defense is good, and they were playing for a lot. The Eagles are going to be in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins and the Vikings are not. That was a topic for maybe later or another day. But, I mean, when the game was still mattered, Josh Johnson hadn't completed 50 yards passing. He finished the day with 12 of 27, 91 yards, and an interception for a 37.7 rating.
27 attempts for 91 yards.
I mean, here's the thing. For the first time, I really think you saw for a couple weeks, it was, wow, how has this guy been bouncing around and never stuck with a team and never had a win in the NFL? Because you see some terrible quarterbacks out there. Blaine Gabbert's starting a win and in game for Tennessee.
Yeah.
Against the Eagles was the first time you saw the bad Josh Johnson. And it's tough. He's a good story, really nice guy, but God, that was just awful football to watch today.
Oh, yeah.
And we have, go ahead.
Well, that's Josh Johnson without a running game. We've seen every Redskins quarterback this year. When there's no consistent running game, they're hopeless immediately. So, yes, Josh looked pretty average, but he was under a lot of pressure and had nothing to do behind him in the running game.
It was funny. Before the game, I was talking to former NFL player that was walking around underneath the stadium, and he was an offensive guy, and he was complaining about how much the Redskins kept saying that the defense was getting tired because they were on the field too much. And he was like, you know what gets the defense off the field quickly? A three and out. It's on them. Mm-hmm. And he was emphatic about, you know, that it's fool's gold to blame blaming the offense for not being able to stay on the field. And it's up to, at some point, the defense has to take the bull by the horns and get off the field. And they didn't do that once today.
I'm curious who Mitch was talking to. Maybe that will be a good question.
Oh.
For January 17th, William Jeffries Tavern, live pod, followed by a no recording devices allowed off the record conversation.
Very off the record.
Well, and I think we're going to do it like, I think like we will all answer one off the record question. So for Pete, it'll be about how we got mono. For you and I, I'm guessing it'll be about football.
Something football related.
Yeah.
I'd answer more than one, but not
I do
a lot.
I think
we're on the books for one.
Okay.
We're on the books definitely.
We'll see how they go. If they're totally inappropriate, we'll stop at one. If they're okay, we can do another round.
Pete will absolutely answer one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I answer plenty. Like, what is that? What used to be a zit and is now that thing on your head?
As Pete turns his head away from us, like all of a sudden we can't see.
Well, I don't want the listeners to see it, but then
William Jeffries Tavern, January 17th, 2301 Columbia Pike. Go to their website, William Jeffries Tavern. They have our boy Matt Turrell, who's a big time listener, writes for the city paper, said he loves this place. Really good food, really good beer selection. So be there.
What time?
7 o'clock, January 17th.
I'm now self conscious about my face.
You're beautiful, Pete.
Oh, stop it.
Two things before we move. The crowd. I am not a guy that begrudges anybody that sold their tickets to anybody they could sell them to. You do you when it comes to finance. I don't even begrudge the Redskins if they re-engage ticket brokers to sell a bunch of these so they can make some money. Money makes the world go round, man. Like, I'm not naive. But holy shit, the amount of Eagles fans. I had never seen it like that. You think that Steelers
Mitch is skeptical
game,
a little bit. He thinks it's being
there were a ton of don't get me wrong. First of all, there were a ton of
Eagles fans. It was 70%.
Okay, I said 65. I was giving the skeptical look because Pete and I were talking about it in the press box.
Someone said 20-80.
Somebody said 80-20. I thought that was a little aggressive. I think the Steelers Monday night game.
But just because you can tell the towels,
maybe. But it was there were a lot of Eagles fans there.
Here's maybe what made it. That much more striking is that this was the best crowd FedEx Field has had all year.
Yeah.
This place was kind of packed.
Yeah.
Dude, the upper level was full. It was full.
There was not a seat in the lower bowl. The problem was everybody was green and black.
And so maybe that's what made it stand out that much was that it was full and it was full of Eagles fans. I don't know, man. But it was to be clear, I'm not blaming Skins fans. Yeah. I'm not blaming anybody. It was just jarring.
My college roommate was here. He's an Eagles fan, and I was trying to find him in the parking lot, and I called him, and I said, dude, it'd be so much easier to find you if you're in a Redskins jersey right now. There's too many goddamn Eagles fans. There's too many Eagles fans. Like, it was easier to find people in burgundy and gold than midnight green at FedEx Field in Week 17. But again, I kind of expected it.
Yeah.
Reason would a Redskins fan have to come today? Except for people like Uncle Don, who just are diehard and will do anything for the team.
We got plenty of great Skins fan listeners, Bryant and Deers and Beer. I mean, there are plenty of Skins fans that were here because they love this team and win or lose.
Our ambassador to Pittsburgh was here.
Danny Frank was here.
There are a lot of
All right, let's run through all the people we got to talk to.
Let me just say, there was a lot of Eagles fans here. To me, it wasn't jarring.
It was jarring to me. When they overturned one of the
they
touchdown.
Blew the Skins coming out of the tunnel.
Yeah, when they overturned the Aguilar touchdown, I was like, are we back in Lincoln Financial when that crowd celebrated?
Right. Yeah, when Josh Johnson threw the pick early, it was like we were on Broad Street, dude.
How about when the Bears scored a touchdown against
that
the Vikings?
That was wild. They hadn't even announced it on the Jumbotron, and somehow all the Eagles fans must be checking their phones or something, and they knew the Bears were up. Oh, quick aside, because we got to talk Gruden's future. How about Kirk Cousins, 8-6-1, Week 17, winning in, and just a total dud? It's the exact same scenario as it was in 2016.
Yeah.
Don't add me. It's the exact same scenario.
Winning in, but they're playing – today they're playing at least a legit opponent.
They lost.
Yeah, they lost.
They had 10 points in each game, and they lost.
When Kirk signed that contract, everyone said, wow, Kirk is going to change the way the contracts are negotiated going forward. And At the time, I said, that's only the case.
I'm holding my hand up like anybody can see my hand.
Right. Like Pete turning
right
away
next
from
to
us.
My
right. Yeah. At the time, I said, it only changes the way that you negotiate contracts if the contract looks good. And guess what? We're 8 months removed from it, and it doesn't look good.
We're not going to get to say this very much. The Redskins they haven't made a ton of the right moves lately, if in the past decade, but not paying Kirk looks like the right. Now, not back in 16 when maybe you could have had a reasonable deal. There were times where they could have done
not
something.
Paying Kirk $84 million
this year, right?
Or more,
a fully guaranteed,
or more if he was going to stay here. That's the
dude.
Made
watching
the right
Kirk
move.
Fight with Adam Thielen on the sidelines. Oh. I mean,
that was a 35 out of 10.
All right, that was red meat for our base.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jay Gruden's future. We've long said we expect him back. Ian Rappaport reported it Saturday night ish.
I love how we. In the media and in D.C., we'll talk about something like Jay Gruden coming back. And, you know, we talk about it on the pod. J.P. writes about it. He tweets about it. We expect Jay to be back. We expect Jay
to
be back.
Say it on air.
Say it on TV. Say it. Scream it from the hilltops. And it's not a story until some national guy swoops in and says, well, I'm hearing that Jay's going to stay. Yeah, we've been saying it for a month.
Yeah, Ian.
I like rap. But
no, it's not against him. It's just, you know.
I use that. So I don't know if you saw the story I wrote, but I had like the bones of my Jay is staying story ready because I thought that was going to be everything I've been told. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
And then I kind of just used the Rappaport report to get into it. So I was cool with it. I was kind of like waiting for that to happen. And I still don't know that it's a done deal. And I don't know that today helped.
I don't know that today. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I think it's a done deal. I think a lot of it is $10 million that they don't want to pay out.
And like, of all the open jobs, this might be the least attractive of the open jobs.
And there's not like a ton of killer candidates out
there. Right, like it's one of those. It's just like a whole lot of
Right. Rather keep our than go get their
Right. At least you know what you're getting with this
Right.
Yeah,
and they were 6-3 before Alex got hurt.
Right, like there have been rays of sunshine in there.
I still don't.
It hasn't all been rain clouds. It's okay to look up at the sky every once in a while, Pete.
Yeah, see the palm trees. I still don't think it's the right. I still don't think keeping Jay Gruden is going to make this team better. But I am understanding. You want to keep your instead of look for someone else's and that
don't yuck somebody's yum. Yeah, Sherry Burris.
Gruden works in this current structure. as well as anybody could. Again, I don't think it's great for the Redskins. I don't think they should do it, but I am understanding that he at least will keep things steady until maybe the organization figures itself out or more attractive candidates get better or the roster gets better for another coach to come in. So I guess he's keeping the seat warm for the next guy. I don't know. It doesn't
or
sit well.
Or they could win. Or they could win. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't think they can win in 2019?
Right. If you ask me right now, 2019 seems pretty bleak.
Why? Why is it much different than this year?
I guess if you asked me at this point last year, I would say the same thing. But quarterback's so confusing.
What is bleak? Because here's my thing. I think 7-9 is entirely possible. Like, I don't think there's a pop in the win column. But I also don't think they're going 5-11. Maybe I'm wrong. Well, none of us effing know.
Yeah,
dude.
Of course.
But, I mean, the season just ended.
Right.
There's
right.
so much to, right. to.
We don't know that. So we don't know that the coach is coming back. We all believe he is. I don't think we know that Bruce Allen stays in his exact same role either.
So there's been talk. There's
sure.
been whispers and rumors that maybe Bruce moves to the business side and they bring it and they elevate Schaefer.
Which was the talk going back to training camp.
Right.
And the idea was they brought these new suits in and that frees some of Bruce's time up. They get a stadium deal done. Bruce gets to walk away triumphant.
As long as Bruce is in the building,
right,
he's kind of in charge.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether they move in
whatever
the business
title
or not.
They give him,
right.
I feel like
I
his hands will
he's
be
still,
on everything.
He's still a large figure that looms over the organization.
And I don't see him going anywhere.
Out leaving the organization.
Right.
I agree.
I think his role could change. I think Schaefer and Kyle could get promoted for sure.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to lose those guys. I don't think they'll lose Schaefer. I think they could lose Kyle.
Kyle Smith.
Well, Kyle.
I'm just for you're just using
sorry.
Kyle.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Eric Schaefer, Kyle Smith.
Do we need to keep going on this, or we?
I think
there'll be plenty of pods in the future where we dive deeper.
Yeah,
there we will. We have a whole off season to talk about this.
You know what's interesting too is that I was talking with Kyle about this. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jags.
Yeah.
A lot of questions about Tom Coughlin, Doug Marrone, what's going on down in Jacksonville. Shad Khan puts out a statement. These are my guys. They're staying for 19. On with the show. Ownership here could do that if they want to. And move it along.
Ownership now, hasn't put out a public statement in a long time.
Well, I know the Redskins.
In either direction.
Right. Well, and the Skins are firm in that they hold these, you know, end of season evaluation meetings. And that's going to happen this coming week. I think any news, let's say things break the way we expect them to. Gruden stays, Bruce stays in whatever capacity. There will still be staff changes, but I don't think those are coming immediately unless ownership or the front office is particularly frustrated about something they think is easily identifiable, or there's a candidate, Todd Bowles perhaps, that they want to go get right away in fear of losing him.
We go through quick housekeeping. The season ends today, tomorrow morning, Monday morning. There's locker cleanout for the players. They clean out their lockers. They meet with the coaches. They have exit interviews. Some players meet in person, some do it over the phone, some don't do it at all, the guys that are leaving. The coaches then have meetings with their superiors.
Yep.
And then the coaches go through and self-scout themselves. They scout the other side of the defense.
And now
guys.
You're talking about like weeks.
Weeks, we're going weeks, but there's a very particular set of events that go.
What does he say in Taken? Very particular set of skills.
Yeah. Yes.
But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
So tomorrow is going to be, there's going to be lots of meetings all day long with the coaches and the players. And like JP said, this unless management decides that somebody has to go immediately. And
odds are it's not happening tomorrow.
Odds are it's not going to happen very quickly. Now, of course, we're going to put out the pod and an hour later.
Right.
Gonna be gone.
It's going to happen tonight.
Right. Just
to
because
other,
we,
right.
yeah, just because we said this. So.
Yep. Can't wait. Can't wait to talk in the future, guys.
Anything to add, Pete, or we keep moving?
Game balls. Keep moving. And we can move right through game balls.
Real quick, though, I want to thank the good folks. Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. Go buy a Toyota Tundra, Mitch. Go buy a Toyota Tundra from Oarsman Fairfax Toyota.
I'm into the big guys.
That's a nice truck. I know you like the big guys.
You see that Tundra pulling on a run play. You get out of its way.
Is anybody getting a game ball?
Tressway, perfect season.
Tressway, perfect season. Done. Anybody else?
No, I don't think anyone else deserves
Shazer had a pick.
He also missed the tackle on the Aguilar touchdown. Not that it matters at all.
Zach Brown had 11 tackles. Mace had 10. I don't think there's game balls there.
Just
Stacy McGee came to play. He had a sack. Kerrigan had a sack. What is Kerrigan's season total?
12.
12.
I think he got up to 13.
13?
I think he was at 12 for the game.
What's his career high? 13 and a half
is his career.
There was. It's not game balls. It's not a hat tip. It's not anything other than you like to see the effort. There was some superior effort.
Back to back 13 sack seasons for Kerrigan.
It's pretty good. And pretty stark compared to Preston. On the other
and
side.
Kerrigan started slow, man.
Yeah. Super slow.
He didn't have a sack till week four.
Mason Foster, after they gave up that last touchdown, came off the field and he was like visibly effing pissed. Like, and at that point in the game, having any sort of reaction to the touchdown, you know, that's a guy that cares. You know, he plays hard, he cares. He was not having it. He walked out of the locker room, didn't do a group interview session. John Allen did the same. I pointed out to Pete at one point in the third quarter or start of the fourth, there was a 15, 20-yard run play. Three guys made the tackle downfield, and it was Tim Settle, it was Deron Payne, it was John Allen were the three guys that were down there making the play with, you know, a couple of DBs and linebackers kind of, doing their DB and linebacker thing. So, none of them are game balls. None of them are hat tips. None of them are anything other than there are guys on this team that care that the game was a stinker, but Chris Thompson was basically in tears in the locker room.
There are guys that care.
And
there are guys that will stand up for Jay Gruden, too.
Chris Thompson's one of them. Jonathan Allen tweeted a couple minutes ago, one day we'll look back at the season and think about how far we've come. Lots to learn, but we'll be back.
And
HCTR, how do you end
it?
HCTR, correct, yeah.
Just because we didn't mention a guy doesn't mean it's an indictment on him or a guy that we did mention. Those are just a couple guys, a couple plays.
Who are you indicting, Mitch?
You want me to indict somebody?
Sure. I was kind of kidding, but yeah, hell.
Let's get feisty.
F it. Haha, Clinton Dix wanted no part of any part of this football game. He was
the last guy in the locker room, too.
He was slow to the football. To me, he was slow to the football. He didn't want to put his head in on a tackle. It looked like week 17. It looked like a guy who wanted to make sure that he was healthy going to free agency.
Boom. There's an indictment. Well done. I mean, not well done, but the opposite of that, a guy that's going to free agency who was manhandling dudes this week and last, Pernell McPhee.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a dude going to free agency, too, that wants to have a couple good weeks of tape on. I don't know, but he looked strong, man. I don't know. I don't even know where we are. Are there game balls to give out? Did we not have like a goofy one?
Yeah.
Uncle Don?
No.
There's a dog on the field that was really cute. Ringo.
Yeah, Ringo the service dog got a game ball.
Yeah.
Ringo's the dog that sniffs up bags when we come into the stadium instead of looking through everything.
He kept us safe all year. Hell, Ringo gets a game ball.
I don't know.
J.U. Chesson caught a pass on a fake punt.
Tressway, we gave one already, yes, right? And Tressway threw that pass.
Yes.
How about this? If you've been to a game at FedEx Field, you know the voice of Mark Kessler. He's the PA announcer. He came up to Mitch and I in the food line in the press box and said, guys, I love the podcast. You keep me up to date from Charlotte. And it was so cool that he did that. And then hearing him talk when you've heard him be the PA announcer for years was so awesome. Because it was just like, you know that voice like, all right, fans, it's third down. Like whatever. And then
JP
like,
came up to me, as he came up to JP, he's like, hey, you know Mark? And I was like, I don't know that I do. And he's like, you'll recognize the voice. And he's like, hello, I'm Mark. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, that was cool. Ambassador of Pittsburgh was here. My guy Luke Erfman was here. Remember Luke is the service member that Air Force guy that got us our flag from Afghanistan that flew in an F-16.
I was very salty. I didn't get a chance to go over and say hi to Luke, but I'm glad you're able to make the game. I'm glad JP got to shake your hand, and we appreciate you, buddy.
Well, and here's what's cooler. Another listener and somebody we all know, Tailgate Ted, set Luke up at his tailgate. So I haven't heard from Luke, but I'm guessing he had a great time, and we know Ted does it right in the tailgate.
Ted cooks some food.
Yeah, Ted gets after. Goats. Clearly, HaHa got one from Mitch.
He got an indictment, too.
Does anybody disagree?
No. Not at all.
Just
Sorry, Josh Johnson gets one. He was bad.
Josh Doxson gets one. For a guy who makes his living on 50-50 balls, he sure did not do very well in the air today.
Not only did he not do well in the air, that first pick was... You want an indictment?
Indict, bro.
Mitch is hanging out and handing out indictments. Son.
I'm just saying, they throw a 50-50 ball.
Like the district attorney over here.
D.A. Tischler.
Josh Johnson threw a 50-50 ball to Josh Doxson, who didn't even go up for the ball. He let whoever the hell the Eagles DB is, doesn't even matter, whether he's an all-pro or a freaking scrub, let the guy go up and high point. It didn't even make an attempt at it. It was such a poor effort from a guy who hasn't done crap all year. Make a play.
Josh Doxson, 3 seasons, 0 games over 90 yards.
Where are we at on the bust meter with him?
I'm ready to call him a bust.
I'm ready to put him and Samaje Perine on the same bus and let it chuck
out of town.
I think he's a guy you can't win. Early in the season this year, and I think some last year, talked about it's just a guy that you can't win with. It's 50-50 whether he's going to catch a ball that hits him between the numbers. Nonetheless, he's supposed to be this athletic, great guy, aerial specialist on deep balls, and he doesn't make the play.
Oh, how many receiving yards he has in the last 3 weeks?
58.
0 against the Jags, like 12
63
today.
Receiving yards in the last three
and
weeks.
And by the way, the one time he does make a play, he's going to spin the ball and get flagged for taunting, and it's going to go back 15 yards.
It's happened twice this year.
Yeah, so that and happens too. He's really aware.
Twice in blowout losses.
At least he talks to us and explains what's going through his head. Oh, wait, he doesn't do that either.
All right.
Indicted. Game balls and indictments. Cleaning up the streets.
I'm a Preston guy. We didn't see a lot out of Preston tonight.
This season?
Yeah. I mean, he had a better season than his sack total shit.
Yeah.
You can't just go on his sack totals. But today, he didn't show a lot.
No. You gave Josh Johnson one. I'm going to give Jay Gruden one for the offense that he called. It felt like there were a lot of straight dropback passes, and we saw the last few weeks that Josh does a better job when he gets out of the pocket and is able to move around a little bit. And part of that, obviously, is the O-line that's beat up to hell and can't block for him. But if you're – it almost felt like to me that Gruden was almost testing him to see how he worked in a straight, a typical Gruden offensive scheme, straight 3-5-7 step drops, as opposed to working all the boots and the runs to the outside. So if Jay was testing him and Jay was able to make a determination on whether he comes back this year, next year, then kudos to Jay for finding that out in week 17 instead of having him stick around all offseason.
If that was a test, that looked like me taking math 001 three times at University of Maryland.
I was going to say, that was me with Greek literature.
Yeah, well.
I was not good at that.
Who the hell takes Greek literature?
Greek and Roman mythology.
Like the Odyssey?
No, Greek and Roman mythology. Sorry.
What's his Sisyphus?
I dropped the Sisyphus today because I took the damn class twice. I should remember something.
I'm happy for you.
Anything else? I don't know.
Eye rolls for everybody else.
All right.
Yeah.
Game balls and go. We just did that. Over unders.
Can we give you a kick in the can for that one?
Yeah, dude. Yeah, sure. It's week 17 for everybody, and we got to be at the park in like 4 hours.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Trying to just keep it moving because we got to be in Ashburn at, 9 a.m.?
Yeah. Pete spent last night in urgent care, so.
Well, no, that's our final story for the pod.
All right.
Good. I can't wait.
So, over under. Does anybody remember him? 200 total yards for Johnson?
Yeah.
Way under.
Way under.
But do you have the answers written down somewhere?
Somewhere, maybe. Somewhere. I don't know.
I know.
I'll look quickly.
I was an M Tundra on that one. I think you guys were both overs.
I think I was over. Yeah, JP and I said over because we thought garbage time.
You know what that gets you? Both?
What?
What's it get us, man? Hey. It didn't hurt too bad.
I think we went back to 69 yards for AP.
Yeah. I think I said under because the Eagles were going to zoom in on
him. He went way
under. Did he even get 6 yards? Did he get 6 or 9 yards?
Oh, man. No.
Oh, what?
4 carries for 0 yards. And I got to say, it was wild. After that game in the locker room, first off, AP gave a speech in the locker room after the game that I had multiple players tell me. They're like, man, I've never ended a season like that where you've lost And you've lost on the year, and you've lost in a bad final game, and I'm fired up for next season. Evidently, AP challenged everybody to have a great offseason and be ready to play.
He kind of told our reporters what he was saying. Like, you have to have a championship mindset. That's why I'm where I'm at in my career. That's why I train so hard. The only thing I'm chasing is the Super Bowl. Everything else falls below that. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be back on a bike writing out my goals. And he tried to preach that to every single guy in the locker room.
It's an admirable message.
Leader.
And our final one was 0.5 touchback
from
our guy, Tressway.
We all went under.
We all went under, and he got it. So good for you, Tress.
79 punts.
Well deserved.
Zero touchbacks.
I had a good interview with Tress that will run tomorrow or sometime. It was good.
at some point.
I'm going to be honest here.
Oh.
Go ahead.
You guys get a kick of the can for talking about the perfect game in the middle of the game.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
I was so confident in it happening.
It happened, but...
That only counts if you're on the field.
Kick of the can.
Yeah. I don't think that's a thing, dude.
You made it up a while ago.
Yeah. Whatever. I make up lots of
whatever.
I have a creative mind. They're not always hits. all right. I'm going to be honest. We may not be covering everything right now, and that's because we have to be at FedEx, or we have to be at Ashburn in 4 hours. And there's a million things that are going to happen over the next week, 10 days, 2 weeks. So we are going to be talking to you all the time. So let's all get through tonight.
Yeah. People are asking me, does the work kind of slow down when the season's over? And honestly, I think the podcast schedule will at least get pretty busy here for a little bit.
Yeah. Then we're going to have a pretty nutso 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
And then things will settle a bit. Mitch and I are going to Mobile to scout some QBs. You know, we'll have some events that we'll have to hit. January 17th, y'all better be there. I tell you what, I'm going to be ready for a drink January 17th.
Yeah.
Can I
talk about a cool thing in the locker room real quick?
Yeah, talk about it.
I tweeted it, but...
Nuggets.
Ryan Kerrigan and Preston Smith post-game exchange jerseys. Normally we see that with guys on the other team, Eagles and Redskins or whatever, but... When we first got in the locker room, were kneeling at their lockers, writing out messages to each other. Preston addressed his to HBK, the Heartbreak Kid. Kerrigan talked about how much he's seen Preston grow as a man, and you know their friendship, and how much he wishes he's back, and how he thinks the two of them, you know, as bookend OLBs, if there's any way to make it happen going forward, he was definitely. He definitely was a little emo Kerrigan right there at the end of the season, thinking about losing his buddy Preston. But it's a cool little moment. I don't know in my however long it's been if I've seen guys on the same team at least openly exchange jerseys with each other. But clearly their bond goes beyond the field, and it was a cool little moment.
How about that other Peterson story in locker room, JP, with Jay?
Pretty cool. Gruden, it was interesting. Like, Gruden usually kind of just leaves. But he definitely like made a point to go around and talk to all the other coaches, and he walked through the locker room at the end, which was another hallway out where you don't have to walk through the locker room. And there weren't many people left in there, but he walked up to AP, and they shook hands, and they, you know, Peterson kind of thanked him and said, you know, it was a pleasure being here, and Gruden said, the pleasure was all mine, and it was pretty cool. And
nah, man, the pleasure was all mine.
Who knows what's going to happen really with a lot of these. Who knows what's going to happen with Gruden? Who knows what's going to happen with Adrian Peterson? But like in that moment, frozen in there was Peterson's redemption season, proving that he can still do it, proving just to everyone else, because that dude believed in himself absolutely all along. And a little bit of Gruden rolling with Peterson and kind of, As shitty as this year was, it was a pretty remarkable ride watching Peterson do his thing. And I'm so glad he was able to have last week in Nashville where he just looked fantastic, because obviously week 17 was bad. Bad for Peterson, bad for the Skins. They couldn't get the run game going. They couldn't get anything going. I think we're good. We good, boys?
Urgent yeah. care?
We're getting there, Pete. Jiminy Christmas.
All right.
It's been a... let's not pretend. It's been a pretty shitty year. Losing Tandler will be the mark of this season for me for the rest of my life.
All three of us.
Yeah, losing Alex Smith for the team was a killer, and we don't know what's going to happen with Alex. I don't see any way he plays quarterback in 2019. We talked about this.
I don't know. It's been a long, long year. We got plenty of time to really dive into all that. Our boy Jackson has compiled all the results from the Grand Canyon trip where we did the over-unders. And it's going to be funny to go back and like revisit those and just...
Some of them seem real ugly.
Michael Phillips will not want to be on that podcast.
I'll tell him Phillips that much. Is going to be on it. But just every NFL season is a wild ride. And this one, I think, just really took a bad turn in a lot of different ways. But, you know, it's always next year, Mitch.
Yeah.
All right.
It's always next year.
We're gonna end with a funny story.
Chasing Buffalo,
buddy. We need some upbeatness here. If you made it this far and you hate shtick, hang up. Want to thank the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We always love them.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
All right, now we're going to tell Pete's story. So Pete is sick. He's on antibiotics. He probably shouldn't have come to the game because the kid has no idea if he's contagious or not.
Yeah. He's contagious.
Cantagious.
You're contagious, yeah. But yet you're here.
Yep.
And you claim it's because you want to work, but it's... I don't know why it is.
Why else would I want
to
be here?
But you're going to get everybody else sick. We've tried to quarantine Pete all day.
For the record, JP has been sick for the past 2 months.
I've never had to go to the doctor. I had a cold, dude.
You probably should have gone to the doctor, and then you wouldn't have been sick for so long.
I was sick.
There's the second I show up sick, everyone's like, oh, it's Pete. He's so gross.
No.
JP's been coughing for weeks.
You were in urgent care.
Getting tested for mono and laryngitis and
less than 24 hours.
Whatever the hell else.
Yes.
You think those are comparable situations?
No.
No. Yeah, all right.
But I did get my flu shot, too, so maybe that helps.
Anyway, here's what's funny is that Pete, who's kind of gross-looking right now dealing with this sickness, I can only imagine what you looked like last night at urgent care.
Like, are you going to shave ever?
Yeah, you were taking care of this beard, and now it's back to this whatever.
I was sick. I was too tired to get out of bed. I could barely...
Then why are you
why
here?
Why are you here?
I woke up feeling better today. Yesterday and the day before,
you
I felt
still didn't
like
shave.
Death.
It was a 4:30 game. You had all the time in the world to shave.
I know. I didn't shave.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going. Pete, in his wisdom...
Infinite wisdom.
...believes he had a chance with the nurse at the urgent care.
Yes.
So go ahead. Tell the story.
So her name was Maddie. She was very nice, and she checked me in.
Maddie, if you're listening, hit up Pete.
Please do. Slide into my DMs. They're wide open. And she checked me in. She took my temperature. I told her a joke about how I just moved out and didn't have a thermometer. She laughed about that. She said, did you get your flu shot? I said, no. I'm kind of regretting that now. She laughed about that. And then things kind of were going well. And then she leaves to go do something, and then...
Now, real quick, was it going well because she was, like, checking your...
No,
yeah. Like, what was going well?
She was
responding to my...
Checking your vital signs?
Right, did she take your blood pressure and,
yeah,
like,
did
she squeeze your arm?
But, like, she liked my shtick. She was kind of in on it. She was going back and forth with me. So then she puts me in, like, the little side room.
Was the stethoscope cold?
No, we didn't do that. I had a sweatshirt on. She didn't ask me to take it off. I gladly would have if she asked, but that's neither here nor there. She puts me in the little side room.
For the record, I feel like medical professionals that are listening are pissed.
I don't think we have very many medical professionals listening.
We got a couple.
I think we got a few.
So Maddie puts me in the side room, and I'm like, okay, when she comes back, I'm going to try and, you know, play the press coverage a little bit, maybe push it Chase Buffalo, if you will.
Ugh.
And then
you're not allowed to say that anymore.
Sorry.
Coming from a guy who's going to be tested for mono momentarily.
Like, this, you
yeah, I understand being
you're
sick.
You're so delusional.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happens?
And then the next woman to walk into the room, it's not Maddie, but it's my mom. Here to save the day and just get in the way of any sort of advancement. Of course, I can't.
What urgent care were you at?
Urgent care, it was patient first in Silver Spring.
So your mom drove from Rockville at what time of night?
Like 9 o'clock on a Saturday, which is normally her bedtime by at least an hour. So, yeah, I just didn't feel comfortable hitting on the nice nurse at urgent care with my mom.
Well, and you looked like a giant dork because your mom had to come to urgent care.
Yeah, that probably shot my chances down right then and there. Yeah, I also looked terrible. I probably smelled bad. My beard was probably gross. So in my mind, me and Maddie—
I'm confident your beard was bad.
In my mind, me and Maddie were going to go out for drinks later that week, and I was going to— We were going to hit it off, but in
her
mind...
The girl that's testing you for mono, yeah. You wanted to take out.
In her mind, she's like, this guy's gross. I hope he doesn't infect me. I hate
that's
working
That's how I feel, yeah. And you think I'm being a jerk.
Yeah. So, Maddie, and then... should I tell the stalkery part, or should we just move on? Where I looked up the staff on patient first, see if I could just find her later, because I...
All right, we got to go. If you made it this far, Pete owes you a case of beer.
Jesus,
Thank Pete. You for listening. There's a lot more coming, folks.
Tomorrow we'll have another pod. Yeah.
We know this one now is supposed to go down. This was not the plan for week 17. And I know a lot of you are pissed. I know a lot of you want changes. I don't know that they're coming, honestly. And I don't know what that means for 2019. I don't know what it means for fans of FedEx Field. I don't know what it means, man.
It's just
I don't know what it means for the draft. Starting there. Because
yeah.
That's the first big thing that that's going to start defining what happens with this football team.
It's just crazy that last year is so wild, this year is so wild, and they have the same record. Feels like no progress has been
It's crazy.
Made.
This time last year was Kirk Cousins, week 17 in New York, just a god-awful game, 7-9 finish. This year, so much promise followed by your going four quarterbacks deep, still finish 7-9. It's hard to compare the two seasons.
It's admirable, it's annoying, it's a lot of things.
Yeah.
But in the end, it's the exact same.
Right. Here's what I do know is we love doing this. We love our listeners. I can't believe we're now 3 years into this thing. Or three football – that would make it 3 years. Or is that like 2 years? I don't know. I'm not a math guy.
It's incredible everywhere we go seeing you guys. Like,
yeah, man.
Not to get all emo on you guys, but
it's a wild
it's great.
Ride.
It's incredible. You guys are the best.
Indeed. You're the best. We will talk soon.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.